Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for forgetfulness, because there are many things in life that it is better to forget. The many hurts, the many pains. But there are moments in our lives that are very, very hard to forget. There was a little test that I heard, whereby the result was almost everyone, without exception, remember. The test was simply this. They asked the older generation that lived in the 60s, and they were asked, do you remember exactly where you were when you heard about the assassination of the American president, John F. Kennedy? Almost everyone that they asked could remember exactly where they were, because that news was very unique, very, very startling and shocking. And that shock stayed with the people, even though it happened 30, 40 years ago, when they interviewed those who were in their 70s, 60s, 70s and 80s. They were young people. They were teenagers, some of them. And they knew exactly where they were when they were asked that question. Do you remember exactly where you were when you heard the news of the planes plunging into the World Trade Center in America? Do you remember exactly where you were? I remember it was on a Tuesday. We just finished prayer meeting. I stayed at Choa Chu Kang then, before I moved to Bukit Batok. And I just parked the car and I was walking toward my flat. And I was about to reach the lift lobby. Then my phone rang and one of the church members told me about what he witnessed. He had already arrived home. And he told me to quickly go up and switch on the television. I will never forget exactly where I was when I received that news, because it was shocking. It's not every day that you have such incidents, such events in your life. I'm sure all of us have those moments. But there were many other moments that we have completely forgotten. And it is a good thing. Do you remember what you did when you were 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old? Do you remember? I think most of the things that we did at that age, we do not remember, except for certain special events that happened to us. I remember when I was in kindergarten studying in Seremban. I grew up in Seremban. My dad was a member of parliament in Seremban, and that's where we grew up. We were all born in Singapore. But soon after birth, when my mom was strong enough, my dad would drive all of us back to Seremban. And that's what we did, all nine of us. And so we grew up in Seremban, and my mom and dad would send us to kindergarten. So I remember only one incident in my kindergarten life. All the rest I could not remember, except one incident that was etched in my memory, very hard to forget. I remember in kindergarten, I sat right at the back in class, and I did something that was very naughty. And so my teacher asked me to come to the front. I refused. And so she went to the back of the class and dragged me to the front. I refused to move. And what I did was I grabbed hold of all the tables and chairs that my hand could hold on to. And I knew that at the end, when she dragged me right in front of the class, I looked back, the whole class was in disarray. That was my kindergarten experience. That's it. Anything else, what I studied, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and all the rest, completely forgotten. And so you ask me, how was my kindergarten days? Oh, very enjoyable. How enjoyable? Very, very disruptive. That's it. Secondary school days, I also remember how I grew up in, of course, primary school in Seremban. Malay was my second language. I remember my cikgu. Cikgu is a teacher, right? Cikgu or something like that. I see my Malay is gone. Cikgu or something like that. He make us memorize a lot of vocabulary, and he has this big book with our names on it. And then he will ask us, all right, spell this word. Cannot spell, put up your hand. And then he opened his book. I was so scared because it's got thin one, thick one, and very thick one, you know. And he will smack us. put a hand out, you know, I wish you would use a small one. The moment you took out the big one, I'm in trouble. So that's my primary school. Cannot forget. But the bulk of it, all the good stuff, cannot remember. Naughty stuff, yes. I fought in primary school. I punched one guy and I got disciplined because the guy bullied my younger brother and I beat him up. Primary school. Remember a lot of things. Not good ones. But also forget a lot of things. Some good, some bad. Now that is our memory. We forget things. Now remember, God is omniscient. He is immutable in His omniscience. That means He doesn't gain knowledge. He doesn't lose knowledge. He knows all things all at the same time. You're going to add the phrase all at the same time. Because now there is this heresy that is known as open theism, that God does not control time. God is bound by time. God doesn't know what happened tomorrow until tomorrow comes. Now that is a deadly heresy. That's why you and I have to add the phrase, when God is omniscient, He knows all things, all at the same time. That means He knows from beginning to end, all at the same time. He is not bound by time. God transcends time. God invented time. But for us, we are always bound by time. The moment time ticks on, our present will immediately become yesterday. Right? And the moment time tick-tock, our future becomes the present. And this will continue. We are always people of the present. And therefore, this memory of ours, this brain of ours will forget things. But there are certain things that God says, I don't want you to ever forget. And that was the Apostle Peter's burden in the face of persecution. In the face of the trauma of experiencing the kind of sufferings that they have never experienced before in their lives. Such as, you have your children killed in front of your eyes because you refuse to divulge where your fellow pastors are located or your other Christian leaders were located. To see your parents being killed, put into prison. These are all traumatic experiences. And the danger is, you're going to forget the goodness of God in Christ. And so the Bible tells us, don't ever forget. And so the need to remember is very important. And we have to remember the right things in our lives. And that's why it is a good thing for us, even as believers, to have some kind of memorial. Some kind of memorial that we may want for ourselves. We have memorials given to us by Christ, such as the Lord's Supper. There are some Christians who give themselves a Christian name when they are baptized. And that is to remind them whenever their Christian name is called, it's not found in their birth cert, it's not found in their identity card, but they will give themselves a very important and meaningful Christian name on the day of baptism to remember them by. Maybe they learned it in the Old Testament because God changed the name of Jacob to Israel at his conversion. They are no longer called Jacob, which is a usurper. From now onwards, you are called Israel, the Prince of God. And that was his turning point. Every time when God used the word Jacob, God is basically referring to a very naughty Jacob. That whenever God used the name Israel, He is referring to a very obedient person. Obedient Jacob. And then when it became a nation, it's the same thing. It's the people of Jacob. But that is a nation. The nation is in disobedience. When the nation is obedient, or God wants to recall and remind them of their covenantal relationship and responsibilities, He will call them the people of Israel. So the name is very important. And so we need memorials. Memorials to help us remember. But the question is, what exactly are we supposed to remember and never forget? And so in verse 12, Peter says, this is the focus of your remembrance that you must never ever forget. And so he mentioned, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though ye know them, that means you have known them in the past. This is head knowledge, doctrine. And now I want you to be established in the present truth. And what exactly is the present truth that he wanted them to be firmly rooted in? Firmly, deeply resolved in their soul, so that no matter what the future challenges of life that they will encounter, whatever pain or hurt or loss or whatever seduction, whatever it is, they will never, never, ever forget. And what exactly was the present truth. You just go back to the few verses before that, where Peter himself explained to us that if a person is truly born again in Christ, he has been given a divine nature, a nature that is completely different, where he will give us and describe for us the logical sequence of what happened to a person when he is truly born again in Christ. Now you look at verse 5. The present truth that you must never forget. Right? More so for us in the last days because of the false gospels that are very, very common today. Giving all diligence, alright, to make sure your salvation first, you add to your faith. So the first step is faith, to believe in Christ. Now look at the logical sequence. If you are truly born again and you have truly accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior by faith, then you will experience virtue. We already talked about that. Then with virtue, you're going to have knowledge. And then through knowledge, you're going to have temperance, self-control. And with self-control, you're going to have patience. That means you're going to have perseverance in difficult circumstances. And then through patience, what will bring forth in your life will be a very clear picture of God. And that is godliness. And your godliness is not something that is theoretical. It will impact others through your love for them. That's brotherly kindness, which in turn will turn to agape love. Unconditional love that you will have toward brothers and sisters in Christ. And it all started with salvation, faith. In other words, make sure that your Christian life is real. It burns. It is impactful. It is not theoretical. It is not head knowledge. That is this new Calvinism where they tell us on paper everything that is doctrinally correct. But they separate doctrine from life. They separated doctrine from life whereby you can write all the right doctrines and they will read theologically perfect. Can't find any fault in the writing. But the problem was they are practiced. You look at the lives of these theologians who can write very, very well. But what they do in their lives is completely divorced from the Word of God. They have forgotten. They've forgotten that salvation is not on a piece of paper. It's not just writing some nice sounding words. Salvation is always a deep, genuine, sincere relationship with God through Christ, whereby the person is godly. The person becomes more and more like God and like Christ in his thinking, in his motives, in his words, and in his entire being, because the people can't see his brain, the people can't see his motive, but they can hear his words and they can see his life. And if that is not transformed and changed, you are not born again. And you must never forget this. Salvation is more than just what you say. Salvation is always what you are. It's not what you say. You and I can say all you want that you are a Christian. How is a person going to know that you are a Christian? You come up to a person and say, I'm a Christian. How do you know? Well, I accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. How do you know? The Bible says, confess with your lips and believe in your heart. The first part, confess with your lips, that we can hear. But what about the believe in your heart? That part we can't see. We will never be able to see. But you will know your own heart, do you not? You know whether what you have just uttered before God, when you pray the prayer of salvation, when the gospel is shared with you, you know in your own heart of hearts that this is your journey instantaneously from faith to virtue to knowledge to temperance to patience to godliness to brotherly kindness, culminating in a charity. Agape love. This is not a negotiable experience. Every truly born-again believer, this is the norm. And Peter said, I want you to be established in this present truth. Make very certain and sure and resolve in your heart of hearts that this is your experience. Don't start to examine someone else's life based upon this truth. That is not what this is for. This is for us to examine our own lives, to make sure that we are truly established in this present truth, and you must never forget this. All your life. All your life. Because the devil can use seduction or persecution to cause us to drift away, to stray away. It can happen to any one of us if we are not careful. And that's why Peter says, don't forget this, please. Don't forget this present truth that salvation is not just empty words. Salvation is not a theory where in your brain you can answer all the right questions on paper. It is a life. It is a living relationship and testimony whereby you are a completely different person that is a reflection of God Himself. And that is not your experience right here and now. You are not born again, dear friend. And you have forgotten this. That means you are now living in carnality and sin, because that's how we forget. That's how the devil will cause us to forget. When you are motivated and constrained by material benefits, when you go to work, when you go to school, you have forgotten. Because you are no longer living for Christ, you are living for some material things. Whether it is for promotion or for the bonus or for more money or for whatever your heart desires. As long as it is not Christ, you have already forgotten. Forgetting does not mean that you forget the name Jesus Christ. I don't ever believe that you will ever forget the name Jesus Christ. Is that what Peter is referring to? He's not talking about that definition of present truth. He's not talking about forgetting the name Jesus Christ. You may forget the name Jesus Christ if you are suffering from some mental illness, like Parkinson or some dementia. Then maybe you'll forget the name itself. But he is not talking about a person who is sick. He is referring to a normal person who thinks he is very well. And the forgetting is not just simply the name Jesus Christ. And there are many people who goes around saying, I'm a Christian, I believe in Christ, I praise the Lord. Sure, you can believe in Jesus Christ and praise the Lord all you want. But God says, the moment your life is not described as what Peter has mentioned in terms of the logical sequence that started with faith, and all these are not found in you, culminating in charity, the love of Christ in your heart, you have forgotten. Now, he is being very gracious to use forgetting, because to have forgotten implies that you are probably born again. But if he did not use the word forgetting, then you are not born again, because how can you remember something that is not in you in the first place? Right? A person who is not born again can't forget. You can't forget what you never knew in the first place. We're not talking about answering some questions on exam in a piece of paper under religious knowledge or something like that. We are talking about having a true, genuine experience in Christ as a Christian, where you love to worship once upon a time, where you love to read God's word and you love to pray, and you love to be with Christians in Christian fellowship, but you find all these something that has become tasteless, and the things of the world have become more delicious to you. You enjoy non-Christian fellowship more than Christian fellowship. You stop praying. Because to stop praying means to stop communing with your Heavenly Father. You definitely stop reading God's word because you don't want to hear His voice. And then coming to worship is more of a ritual, a cold-hearted ritual, where you do it for the sake of your mom and dad, and you can't wait to become an adult, and then one day when you are more independent, you say goodbye. I do my own thing now. Not interested anymore. The word forget will not apply to you, because you are never born again in the first place. You have not truly tasted the goodness of God, of Christ Jesus in your heart. But when Peter used the word remember, he is referring to truly born again Christian. What do you think the Lord's Supper was for? What are the words in front? What's the words in front? In remembrance of me. Implication? A believer. We have tasted and experienced true, genuine salvation in Christ. But then the impact of the world, either by persecution means subtraction, threat of losing job, threat of losing freedom, threat of losing life, threat of losing family, that's persecution. I call it subtraction. Very dangerous, but not as dangerous as seduction. I call it addition. Seduction is, they will heap upon your life. The day there would be the devil and his minions will heap upon your life a lot of luxury goods. Promotion of the promotion, more and more money, more and more of the good stuff. And how in Singapore that is more of a reality than persecution. Addition has lured so many Christians, genuinely born again Christians, to love the world and turn their back on Christ. But then Peter says, You remember the great work of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your life, that started with your faith, that you have experienced the entire logical sequence of what has happened to you, culminating in the agape love that resulted in you, who had done so much good work in the past. I don't want you to ever forget, because the remembrance part is Christ and you. That's the focus. That's the focus that you must always remember. Do you remember the day when you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior? I hope you do. We're not asking you to go to that place and then build some altar. Please don't do that. But that's what Abraham did when he did not have the written word of God. When he arrived in the promised land, it was known as the land of Canaan then. When the Lord spoke to him and confirmed that this is the place I want you to remain. Don't join any of the city. Live in the tent, separate from the rest of the nations of the Canaanites. Stay where you are, and I will give you a son one day. You wait. And so he built an altar. Every time when he feels maybe a little doubtful or question whether it is God's will for me to be in this strange land, he will look at the altar and he will remember. Remember what? The voice of God when God spoke to him. They didn't have any written word then. The whole book of Genesis was written by Moses long, long hundreds of years later. And then while he stayed there, the Lord spoke to him again and he built another altar. And then another each time. And they were meant to jog his memory so that he will remember that these are the promises of God, especially when he was in doubt whether I should leave and go back to Ur of the Chaldees or whether I should go somewhere else and join Egypt, whatever it was. He remembered the altar and he will remember God's word, the purpose of his life and his existence. You remember your day of salvation, where you were, what happened? If you were asked to give a testimony of when and how you were born again, could you share? Would you remember? I will never forget the day I was born again in Christ. I will never forget the day when the Lord called me into full-time ministry because of the struggle. Both of them involved struggles. Struggles in my life. Fighting against God, refusing to submit. And that's why I will never forget. Don't need any concrete physical altar. It's inside. Do you remember why the Lord has saved you and left you behind after salvation? Do you remember when the Lord revealed to you what the purpose of your existence ought to be? Do you remember? Or you have never had that experience? If you never had that experience, then you cannot apply remember the present truths. You have to remember so that you will have a proper focus, because the seduction and the persecution of this earth is very powerful. How many have strayed away? How many have lost and left the faith because of the love of the world? I can't count in Pandan the number of letters I could sign when they left the church and they say that please delete my membership. I want to terminate it. And so we have no choice but to sign the letter and send it to them. That's all we can do. I remember them. Remember their faces. Remember their names. But now no longer. They have left. Where are they now? They refuse to say. I do not know whether they are found in a good church or a bad church. But they have forgotten. If they are found in the world or they are found in a bad church, they have forgotten completely. Remember the present truth, because there are so many ways that the devil can cause us to forget. And the resulting impact is a poor and bad witness for Christ. You don't have to remember anything in heaven, because I don't believe you will ever forget anything. What God does not want you to recall when you arrive in heaven, it's permanently erased from your memory. But once you arrive home in heaven, whether in the glorified body or only in spirit, the problem of forgetting is over. You are home in the presence of your Heavenly Father, surrounded by all the glorious and wonderful good angelic beings. And all the saints who have gone ahead of you are waiting for you. That's why Peter says in verses 13 and 14, "Yea, I think it is meet, it is right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle while I'm here on earth, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." See, that's the only time, right here now. The focus of our remembrance is the present truth, our relationship with Christ, what Christ has done, and what salvation means, the Word of God, how real it is, how it has impacted us. Don't you ever forget that. And the time for us to remember is now. While we are on this earth, in this mortal earthen vessel, the weakness of this flesh, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. So he knew that his time was short. Soon after this epistle, he would be killed. It is reported from extra-biblical material that Peter was to be crucified. And then he said to the soldiers, "I am not worthy to be crucified right side up like my Savior. Please, crucify me upside down." And that's how he died. They crucified him upside down. Just imagine. I can't even imagine. I don't want to imagine what it must have been for him to die with all the blood rushing down to your head, hung there on two nails on your hands and then on your feet. Those who are crucified right side up, they will usually use their legs to prop themselves up so that they will not have their whole body weight pulled down on your two nails on your hands. You just imagine how painful that must have been. And that's why just before the end of the day, they will break their legs. And once their legs are broken, their legs could not be used to prop them up. And so the whole body weight, if you're 170 pounds, your whole body weight will just simply drag down. And just imagine how painful the nails must have been to tear into the flesh. But you can't tear through because of your bones in your palms. And the pain must have been excruciating. And then they said that that's how their own body weight that is weighing them down, that will choke them to death. They can't breathe anymore. And that's how they will die, by suffocation, by their own body weight, and the pain will be excruciating. And for Peter to be crucified upside down, he has nothing to prop himself up. You just imagine how horrendous it must have been for him. But that's how the extra-biblical source said that he will die. But he knew his time was up. And he knew that he had so little time to put to remembrance the fellow believers that he witnessed with, that he served with, that he knew. And he said that the time is right now for me to put you to remembrance before the Lord takes me home, where I can't do it anymore. The need and the urgency and the focus of remembering is here and now. And you and I must realize this is our witness. This is our own personal witness, and this is also the witness of others, especially parents, for your children. You better know the weakness of our children is such. You may bring them to Sunday school. You may teach them, even at home. But you have to keep on reminding them. And the best way is repetition. Repetition is the best way to learn. Do you know that? Repetition. You've got to keep on repeating. Not only should you repeat, you must have a good, disciplined life taught to your children. A disciplined life. The moment they are born, or even before they are born, you pray. The moment they are born, before they take milk, you pray with them. Make it a habit. Make it part of their life, so that the moment they are old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, the right hand and the left hand, you have really instilled in them a godly discipline to pray before they eat anything. Pray before they do anything. Pray before they go to sleep. Pray before they leave the house. Let this be your godly heritage that you pass on to your children, rather than some material bank account as your inheritance. Let this be your inheritance, your heritage to your children, if the Lord tarries. So that whenever your children remember you, they will never forget how mom always prayed for us before we leave the home. How mom always prayed with us before we eat our meal. How mom or dad prayed for us before we go to sleep. How mom or dad always prayed for us before we do our studies, before we take our exams. How mom and dad, all the good and wonderful, repetitive discipline, so that it will never leave our children way of life. Now remember, if all this good stuff will not leave them by repetition, do you know that conversely it is also true, all the bad stuff that you keep repeating into your children's life, they will also never forget that. You know that, right? You scream and yell all the time at home. Should you be shocked and surprised that when your children grow up, they also scream and yell when they want to talk to people? It will remind you of yourself, should it not? I know that from experience, because when I drive, I open my mouth too much. This car never signaled. This car this, this car that. I forgot that my children, young children, were at the back. And so, I talk, like, open my mouth without thinking. No, this car never signaled. And now my children are grown up. And I sit there. And now, older, wiser, bite my tongue. But then somebody else is doing what? Oh, you never signaled something to my children. Where do you think they learn it from? From Papa. So now how to undo it? I don't know how to undo it. Now I keep my mouth shut, but too late. The impact is already there by repetition. How do I undo it? I don't know how to undo it. Now that my daughters are married, they have their own home, their own lives. And God willing, if they have children, what do you think will happen? And they drive. And what do you think will be behind? And then one day when I'm driving, my grandchildren also the same. You see, I pass on to the next generation. To my grandchildren's generation, who's to blame? Grandpa. You see, the good, the bad, you pass it on. You wanted to remember what? Remember the good stuff. Remember the good stuff. That's what Peter wanted them. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up and put you in remembrance of the present truth, the good stuff, the righteous stuff, the Christ-honoring stuff, the teachings. That's how powerful you and I are in impacting people. All of us. So what do you want them to remember you by? What you do right here and now is very important. Because once you arrive in heaven, everything is different. Everything is different. But that's why Peter says, well, I'm in this tabernacle before my time runs out. I want to keep reminding you. And that is the timing of the importance of our remembering right here and now in this mortal flesh. Not only for ourselves, but also as a burden for others to remember like Peter. His burden was not so much himself. I think he will never forget, because the person who understands the importance of remembering like him, he will never forget. But his burden was for others. They might forget, and that worries him. Should you not be worried as parents? Do you want your children to forget Christ? As leaders, do you want your congregation to forget Christ? How will they forget Christ when they live in carnality? When they pick and choose what verse and what verse to obey or disobey? They pick and choose. Obedience cannot be pick and choose, you know. Like a buffet table. You think the Bible is a buffet spread to pick and choose? It is always 100% total, complete, unconditional obedience. Every jot and tittle from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, you obey. This is the voice of God. This is not some part voice of God, some part not the voice of God. It is all the voice of God. And therefore, how could you and I dare to say to God, God, some of the things you say I want, some of the things I don't want. You can't. You have to remember everything. What breaks the heart of any one of us who is spiritual is that the people that we watched over and look after and pray for and minister, that they stray away. When they stray away, we know that they have forgotten. They are forgotten. Some of you might know who Reverend Ronnie Koo is. He was my classmate. I first met him when I was in architecture first year. He was in architecture, I think, second year. I was not a Christian then. He was, because I hear him play the guitar all the time. Then when I went to second year, I tried to look for him. He left. He didn't finish his university in architecture. And then the next time I met him again was on the day of prayer in FEBC. The Lord called me after I graduated. The Lord called me after I worked for 3.5 years. And then when I went for my day of prayer in FEBC, I was so surprised to see him. And so we were classmates again. And this time inside Far Eastern Bible College. And both of us were doing our bachelor's degree, because at the time FEBC did not offer masters. And so I completed my studies. And the Lord called me to go to America to further my studies, where Reverend Ronnie Koo went to serve as the pastor of Tabernacle BP Church. And then he served there for, I think, 13, 14 years. I came back. I started serving in Calvary Pandan. And then he retired. I remember, because I was the camp speaker at Tabernacle at the time, when they announced his retirement and they gave him a nice little parting love gift. And so I thought all was well. But today, he has turned his back on conservative Christianity. He has joined a charismatic movement. FEBC graduate, my classmate, my friend. What has happened? He has forgotten. Has forgotten all that he has learned. And for your information, his first church was not BP, JSM, Jesus Says Mission, very fundamental. But as far as what he is today, all that he has learned in FEBC, all the conservative teaching that he has learned in FEBC, all have been thrown away. He has forgotten. But not forget in terms of his mind. Has forgotten by his life. You ask him all the doctrines and what is Calvinism and what is this doctrine, what is that doctrine. I'm sure he can explain it to you. Not a problem. Peter was not talking about forgetting in terms of the head knowledge. Of course, if you forget the head knowledge, the life too will be lost. But he was more focused on the life. Life, the future truth, the present truth is about the life, the experience that we talked about. And it is right now. The impact is here and today. Because the time is short. The moment your life and my life ends, it's over. And whatever you fail to do because you have forgotten and you fail to remember, it's going to be etched in your time, in your life for eternity, like a rock with carvings on it. On this day, on this week, you have stumbled, you have forgotten Christ. You have lived in sin and carnality. Even though you repent, that portion that is now etched on the rock of your timeline is not going to be erased. And those people whom you have stumbled during that period of time when you have been seduced, when you have forgotten to live a life of holiness, those people will remain stumbled unless you can find each and every one of them and apologize to them and repent in front of them. Otherwise, even though you have repented, God will forgive you. But the damage has already been done in the lives of the people. Do you know Manasseh was the longest reigning king of Judah during the divided kingdom? Even longer than King David. 50 over years of reign. David only 40 years. It was during his reign that God said, I'm going to send the Babylonians to destroy Judah. His grandson Josiah did a tremendous reform, and God said, too little, too late. The judgment from the Babylonians will not be avoided or averted, they will come. Do you know that while Manasseh was at the tail end of his 50 plus years of kingship, he was captured, and while he was in exile as a prisoner, he became a Christian. The Lord allowed him to return back to Judah to finish his reign. But during those periods, he tried to undo all the damage that he had done in his early years as one of the worst kings of Judah. But the people didn't listen to him. Too little, too late again. They didn't listen. Even though he was born again, he was a changed man. For whatever decree, whatever law you try to pass, the damage was already done in the millions of lives of the Jews who lived in the early years of his reign. He could not undo the damage, the shame, the idolatry, the evil, the wickedness. He could not undo them. That's why Peter was very urgent about remembering. Because if you forget, the damage will begin. See, sometimes when you listen to people give testimony about their backsliding, they just simply brush it off. Oh, I've been backsliding for the past 5 years and now I come to know Christ. As if those past 5 years were very harmless. Those 5 years when you have forgotten the Lord, when you were living in sin and carnality, can you count the number of people you have stumbled? Can you count the hurt and pain? How do you measure the hurt and pain to the name of Christ that your carnal way of conduct and behavior had done to them? And now you just simply brush it off as if 5 years of backsliding is no big deal. Those 5 years you have forgotten what it was to be called a Christian. You have allowed the seduction of the world to lure you away because you have forgotten. Now that you have remembered the Lord, you have come back to the Lord, which is a good thing. But don't just brush off those painful years where you have forgotten the Lord. Those should not have happened. Please understand that your life as a Christian should not be like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. It should be a continuous upward straight line curve, growing from glory to glory in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in holiness and in righteousness. It should be just one straight line of continuous upward climb. It should not be like a yo-yo like that. As if those bottom line where we are living in the valley, living in carnality, is supposed to be the norm for every one of us. That's not supposed to be. Even though it may be more common that you and I would care to admit. But that's not what Christianity is supposed to be. Christ has done for us an amazing, wonderful work of salvation that delivered us from the bondage of sin and has equipped us with more than we need to be a holy witness for Christ. With the indwelling of the third person of the Godhead in us. And with the perfect Bible given to us, preserved and inspired for us, so that you don't have to make your own opinions on how to live a holy life. It's all in the Bible. Just study and follow and obey and you'll be fine. And then it's given to us the mind of Christ, the mind of the second person of the Godhead, so that we can understand the Bible, so that we can think like God, so that the deception and the pernicious doctrines of the devil will have no sway over us. And yet, despite all these, we still stumble and fall. We forget. And that's why Peter says, remember, now is the time to remember. The time is now. You don't need to remember in heaven, it's over. Please don't try to remember after you have forgotten. The pain and the hurt is real in the lives of others and yourself. Don't ever forget the Savior. Don't allow the world to lure you away, not even for the slightest moment. Don't remember right here and now how good the Lord Jesus Christ had always been to you. Don't ever forget Him. The focus is the present truth. The time to remember is now. And finally, verse 15, the result, Peter says, I want you to continue to remember even after I'm long gone. That is the good heart of a good and faithful pastor and elder and servant and apostle. Moreover, I will endeavor, I will procrastinate, I will hasten that ye may be able have the power after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Never forget. You know, sometimes in the Chinese saying, you know, you have this phrase called Mong An Tai Ya. You know what that means, right? It is taken from Josiah, the Bible. When God looked at Josiah's reformation, God said to Josiah, what you have done is very, very good. You have brought a reform in Judah that no other king ever did, past or future. But the judgment of the Babylonians will still come. But it will not happen in your lifetime. You will not need to see it. You know how awful it must have been for Jeremiah to see the thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews and those living in Jerusalem being slaughtered by the merciless Babylonians, to see how infant Jews held by the feet of by these Babylonian soldiers and smashed them against the wall and have their head burst open, and their pregnant women slit open so that both mother and child will die right there and then, blood everywhere. And then to see the temple being burned and razed to the ground, it must have been an awful sight for Jeremiah, and he wrote that for us to read in the book of Lamentations. But in the case of Josiah, God says it will not happen in your lifetime. I don't want you to see it, because you are a good king. Mong antai. Don't want to see. Peter says, I don't want to see any one of you fall away, even long after I decease. That's why as long as there was breath in his body, he will keep on reminding them to forget, to never forget who Jesus Christ must be to them. Because the impact and result is long after his lifetime. That was what he desired by bringing to remembrance repeatedly over and over and over and over again. Because he wanted the impact in the lives of the congregation to remember the Lord Jesus Christ long after Peter was gone. And this should be our intent as well. Isn't that true? That if the Lord tarries, sure, better still, all raptured together. But if the Lord were to tarry, and our generation, my generation, is going to leave this world, just as Dr. To's generation have left the world, one of the things that will give them, I'm sure, the greatest comfort is to know that what they have started and what they have done in their obedience to the Lord in founding the BP movement, that it has not been destroyed by liberalism and modernism and all the terrible attacks. That they have left behind a generation that will continue to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's our turn. If the Lord tarries, will you remember? Peter never forgot. He remembered. His fellow apostles remembered. His generation, his colleagues, they remembered. But he said that's not good enough for him. I want the next generation to remain behind after my departure, long after my decease, right? He says. I want them to still remember, because the church should not just simply be good for one generation. The church should continue to be good for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, because he understood that all you need is just one generation of derelict leaders and congregation and everything else will fall away. You ever been to Ephesus to look at the church of Ephesus? All you see will be ruins. You go to Thessalonica, you go to Philippi, you go to Corinth to find a church that the Bible speaks of in the New Testament, you only find ruins. You go to Jerusalem to try to find the first mother of all mother churches in Jerusalem, right? The first church that the apostles founded, where the 3,000 were born again at Pentecost, and then after the second message, another 5,000 were added. You go to Jerusalem, you can't find the church again. All gone. What happened? All you need was one generation of derelict leaders and everything else will fall apart. You realize that? That's why Peter says, I don't want the next generation to forget too. Because his longing and his heart's desire was for the church to remain faithful, not only in his lifetime, but in the next generation, and hopefully, God willing, in the next generation and the next generation, for as long as possible, even until the Lord Jesus returns. That's how important it is. You cannot just simply think of your generation in remembering. It has to be our children too. And that's why you have to pass it on to the next generation of younger people. Teach them the present truth. What it means to be called a Christian. What it means to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We have to instruct and teach our young people. That's what it means. The intent, the result, is not only within our lifetime. It has to be beyond our lifetime that they must remember. The burden to instill remembrance is this lifetime. But the intent has to be passed this lifetime into the next generation. Because the church should not be only a good church for one generation. I do not know how Reverend Toh felt. Because during his lifetime, he was able to see the growth of the BP movement, which started with only a handful of people in Life Church when they came out of Prinsep Street 60 plus years ago. And then during his lifetime, he saw many BP churches fell away. And his own assistant pastors would kick him out of the church that he had been pastoring for 50 over years. I cannot imagine what it must have been like. Peter would understand. Because he, like Paul, like Reverend Toh, founded many churches. They were like his children, I'm sure. Spiritual children. And then to be able to witness and see their falling away, it must have broken their hearts. Break their hearts. Reverend Toh, to see so many of the BP churches started to believe the Bible as mistakes, started to compromise, and threw away the doctrine of biblical separation. Only BP in name, no longer BP in practice and life. One by one, church after church, generation after generation, it must have broken his heart. But thank God there were still some, like True Life, like Calvary Pandan, like Truth BP Church, that he knew remained faithful, who still remember the present truth, the doctrines of the Word of God. The need to remember. What do you remember? Don't forget the focus. It's not you, it's not me, it's not some sentimental feelings. It is Christ and you and the Word of God. The time to remember is right now, because in heaven you don't need to do that. You will never forget in heaven. What is meant to be forgotten, it's erased from our memory, because there will be no tears in heaven. And the intent of remembering is not only within our lifetime, it has to be to the next generation, so that the good work that the Lord has used you and me to start to do, like in the time of Peter, may continue. It must not end with our death. It must continue to the next generation, and then teach them to remember themselves and pass on the same doctrine of remembrance to their children's children, and so on, for as long as possible, remembering who? Christ, and the great work of salvation that is only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't forget in your own life, and always remember to teach the next generation to not forget as well. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy patience and for Thy long-suffering in dealing with us. For we remember all that which ought to be forgotten, and we have forgotten all that we must remember. The goodness, the grace, and the mercies, and the wonderful salvation that You have wrought in our hearts. Help us, O Lord, not to allow the attractions of the world to lure us away, to forget the Savior, because we are now living in carnality and no longer living in holiness. Help us, O Lord, to remember our Savior by living in holiness and godliness and in righteousness according to the Scriptures, so that wherever we go, when we speak, they will hear the words of Christ. When we live, they're going to see the image of Christ. And we pray that You will be merciful to cause Your people in Truth BPC to realize and remember the importance of living for our Savior, and to know what it means to call ourselves Christians, so that by our lives they must see Christ, for He must increase and we decrease. Help us not only to be faithful in our lifetime, but to teach our children to remember the Savior, so that they too will be faithful past our lifetime. And if the Lord were to tarry, help the younger people, O Lord, to always remember our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus returns. May Thou be merciful to keep Truth BP Church faithful and true to our Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.